there's 95 guys or 97 doing the right thing the right way and two or three jerks. So two or three jerks get 97% of the attention.
Join Head Games Radio. Call 800-878-PLAY. That's 800-878-7529. And now, here's your host, Nick Lowry.
We want to thank Mark Schlereth, who's being crushed. Everybody wants him on the show. Mark, buddy, thank you so much for making time.
You got it, man. Like I said, I'm going to have to fly here in a minute. Unbeknownst to me, they were doing an audition with Emmett Smith today, and they said, oh, by the way, we need you down in the studio at 1:30 because you're part of it, and they let me know that about 12:15. So I had to rush to the hotel.
Let's get straight to it, brother. Let's get straight to it. No problem at all. Let's just look at that Indianapolis line first. Jeff Saturday, a sort of Jerry Kramer-esque block to set a die free flat backs. The defensive lineman in a way that is almost legendary and will become legendary. Tell us about the Indy Colts line, which I think is the reason they won.
Well, I don't think there's any question, you know, and I've always been very critical of Indianapolis Colts, kind of their scheme, if you will, and kind of the finesse football that they have been asked to play, and ultimately, they have really changed things up. I was talking to Dahani Jones, linebacker from the Philadelphia Eagles, and November 26th, the Indianapolis Colts beat them 45-21, and you know, the big thing right now is with Joseph Addai and the way they're running that football, they are really, they have really started to be a power run game, and they're getting great production out of their offensive line. It's not that their offensive line couldn't do it in the past, it's that they were never asked to do it, and it's something that they didn't really work on, you know, and run blocking is like any other skill that you have to work on. You've got to be able to work on your feet and your hands, and you've got to work on getting leverage, and the Indianapolis Colts have kind of changed that part of their game. They are a much more legitimate running football team now, and they're running with power. And there's an excitement about the game. It's really taking a ton of pressure off of Peyton Manning and that crew. And you're right, Jeff Saturday flatbacked Vince Wilfork on Joseph Addai's last touchdown. It was a thing of beauty. For me, it was the ultimate offensive line game because I'm watching them, Indianapolis, just, you know, control the trenches. I'm watching Chicago control the trenches. I'm watching the Patriots run. And then Logan Mankins for the Patriots scores a touchdown. Jeff Saturday scored two offensive linemen.
How about
score.
That?
You know what? That never happens.
Klecko.
Yeah, Klecko out of the backfield for the Patriots. I mean, you know, three linemen, one defensive score. It just was unbelievable.
Hey, Mark, Jaws describes the Chicago offensive line as a road grader offensive line. These guys are just basically bulldozing through, not tremendously athletic, just powerful, straight ahead, kick your butt. I can say kick your ass, I guess, on Sirius Satellite.
Right. Oh, there's no question about it. I think Olin Krutz is, you know, obviously probably the best center in the game today, but he's also one of the nastiest players of the game. He will definitely give you the business, as they say, and I just love the way they play. I mean, they are a hard-nosed group. You know, they're a power-running football team. I'll tell you, one of the guys to keep your eyes on, one of the guys that really made a difference in Sunday's game against New Orleans was tight end Desmond Clark, guy that was a former teammate of mine with the Denver Broncos. And not only the run-blocking game where he's getting second and third blocks on people, it was just amazing, but also controlling the middle of the field to keep some one-on-one matchups with Bernard Berry on the outside. So he's a guy that you really have to, kind of an unsung hero guy that you really got to keep your eye on because he made some gigantic plays in that game against the Saints.
Final question on Mr. Clark there. In the middle of the field, you know, you've got this this ability to create honest picks, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Give me what teams try to do in the middle of the field to create some space, as you were just referencing with Chicago.
Well, I think the biggest thing, you know, you try to get with when you have anytime you have speed receivers, guys on the outside that can really run, and you have that in both of these teams. You know, you've got Reggie Wayne and Marvin Harrison on the outside. So what ends up happening is oftentimes teams will play a base cover two, a shell cover two, and they try to cheat those safeties out over the top to take away some of that deep speed and those deep threats. And so oftentimes what these teams like Indy are doing and even Chicago are doing are you're getting good matchups with tight ends and slot receivers on linebackers or on safeties in one-on-one matchups. And so you know, if you can really pressure teams outside and get safeties to start cheating outside, Now you've got the middle of that field open, and you saw it with the Indianapolis Colts in regards to Dallas Clark and how many times he caught the ball running, streaking right down the seam, down the middle of the field, and that's what you know, that's what teams like that have been able to do, and Indy and Chicago both use that to their benefit.
Final question, Bob Sanders then, does he become extremely important in the decision-making he makes?
There's, you know, there's no question about it. Not only is he a huge factor when it comes to the run game, because he's one of those guys that can play 12 yards deep, diagnose a play, charge on it, and make a tackle for a 1 or 2 yard gain. And, you know, there's very few. Paul Amalu is another one of those guys. Mike Brown in Chicago before he got hurt was one of those guys. So, you know, Bob Sanders is huge. And also he's got the speed and understanding of how to, you know, how to diagnose a play and pass coverage and how to jump a route. And he understands, I mean, one of the great plays in the Indy game was 4th-and-6. If you remember in the second quarter, they run a little stack formation where Troy Brown comes in motion in a stack out of the slot, and then boom, he breaks inside and they complete it for big yardage. Well, they ran the exact same play, but they did it to the other side of the field, so he came down in motion on the other side of the field. Exact same play. Bob Sanders diagnosed it. He remembered it from the second quarter, and he almost got a pick, but he ended it. It was a 3rd-and-4 play. He ended it. He's the guy that, you know, that with 2:30 left in the fourth quarter, gives them a chance to get their offense's hands on it again. So, big, big play.
Hey, buddy, we'll let you go. Tell Emmett Smith we said hello. We saw him out here at the BCS Bowl. Just tell him we wish him luck, and you are the best. Maybe we'll see you next week. Thanks, sir.
All right, buddy. Take care.
Mark Schlereth. Man that probably is better equipped at ESPN to go over the offensive lines, but a guy that's great at looking at the big picture and the matchups is Larry Weissman, who, along with our friend Jared Bell, give us the USA Today edge. Larry, how are you?
Nick, I'm fine. How you doing?
I'm doing great. You know, I figured we'd start off with this defining moment debate about Peyton Manning. I mean, to me, obviously, you've got to win the Super Bowl, but it does, to me, feel a little bit like Steve Young. And finally, that moment has come, and you know what happened in that Super Bowl.
Yes, I do. I remember it quite well. And Steve Young performed admirably against the sort of an outmanned San Diego Chargers team. I think the important thing to remember here is that, sure, Peyton Manning has to win a Super Bowl, but the Colts have to win this Super Bowl. Peyton's not going to be able to do it by himself. He's not going to beat the Bears all by himself. And if the Colts lose, I think that they're going to lose as a team.
And what we talked about with Mark, very much so a key factor, which is that offensive line led by Jeff Saturday, a team that I think came of age in that game. Not just Peyton Manning. That team came of age. There were so many things that went wrong that first half. The fumble in the end zone when they should have recovered the ball on the 1 yard line, scoots into the end zone, New England recovers. So many reasons for them to give up, yet they didn't.
Well, they draw a wonderful sense of calm from Tony Dungy, and they don't panic, and they just stick with what they're doing. And from the standpoint of being able to you know, A, recover against a defense like New England's, and the fact that they were able to beat Baltimore on the road, sure, with no touchdowns, but, you know, they did have a couple of really defining drives in that game, especially the last one that put them up by 9 and left the Ravens no time to come back. You know, that says that line can compete, that line can play, and certainly, as we all know, if you do give Peyton Manning enough time, he will be the MVP of the Super Bowl.
Larry, what about the stats on teams coming from domes, even as it will be on a fast field in Miami in a warm climate? How much is the advantage to a Chicago team that's used to grass?
You know, I don't see a big issue here. The field will be, you know, unless there's some ridiculous downpour or something, the field will be in very good shape. It'll be very tight. I don't think there'll be much difference for the Colts from what they're accustomed to. And they don't play all their games in a dome. They do go outdoors and play football games. And there's so many different surfaces anymore that I think that that's it's really a minimal issue.
And they did pretty darn well at New England earlier in the year. Here's Ron Jaworski.
I disagree. It certainly was a defining game for Peyton Manning, but if he is able to win the Super Bowl and clutch that Vince Lombardi trophy, certainly that would be the defining moment. I mean, there's no question Peyton has taken the proverbial monkey off his back with an outstanding game and about as good a second half as you will ever see a quarterback play against a great defense. You know, when you think of the intelligence and athletic ability of that New England defense and and they were able to put 32 points on the board in the second half, shows me what a great performance Peyton Manning and the Colts offense had in that.
Had in that game, but what about against a Chicago defense that in some ways is even more intimidating?
Well, I think the thing you want to watch out for with the Bears is turnovers. They are coached very well to to go for the trifecta, the sack, strip, fumble recovery, and you saw that in the Saints game. They put pressure on and they go for the ball. Some teams don't, but the Bears do, and that's going to be very important for the Colts to make sure they protect the football and make sure they put as much pressure as possible on that defense. And you would think to get the kind of lead early that takes the Bears' running game out of it and puts the onus on Rex Grossman to be the equal of Peyton Manning.
Let me ask you, Larry, what about the sort of mentoring relationship that Tony has with Lovie? Do you think at some level there is some deference that gives an edge to Tony because he brought Lovie into the fold?
No, I really don't think so. You know, friendship is going to be on the sidelines in this game, and these two coaches are going to do everything they can to beat each other and to win the NFL's ultimate prize.
Well, buddy, what are you working on this week? Is there one factor in our last 15 seconds, one key thing that you think is the determining focus for the game?
I really think it's going to be about the Colts getting off to a quick start, which they haven't done often this year, and getting a lead and taking the Bears out of their running game.
Well, thank you, sir. As always, we know how hardworking and busy you are, but Larry Weissman will be watching for your articles in USA Today. You're the best.
Thank you, Nick.
Thanks, Larry. When we come back, Major League Baseball, hot stove, we're all over the place. Jim Beatty, two-time general manager for the Expos, vice president with the Orioles. We're going to do a little update in just a minute on Head Games on Sports Byline and Sirius Channel 122.